First Peter chapter number 5.
I am excited to preach the message this morning. I mean that. I feel like that this could be such a great help to many of you here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so we're going to read in verse number 1 on down through verse number 8. And I want to preach on this subject, casting your cares. Casting your cares. First Peter chapter 5. In verse number 1, I'm going to go ahead and say now that this portion of Scripture is written to elders. And when the Bible uses the word elders in this regard, it's talking about men that are in the ministry. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable what he's going to say to the elders when it comes to casting all your care upon him, for he care for you. I promise you, it'll work for you too. And so let's all stand, please. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And verse number 1, I want to read down through here and then bring this message, casting your cares. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Heavenly Father, please, as we take a look at this, Lord, this wonderful, wonderful truth, dear God, I pray that you would fasten it onto our hearts. I pray that some that's here today that may be, Lord, bogged down in defeat would learn how to have victory. And dear God, I pray that that person that may just be overly discouraged, Lord, will be thrown a scriptural lifeline today. And Lord, that they would see, dear God, that there is a tomorrow, and that there is the sun will rise again, and that there is a light ahead, and there is hope. As long as there's Christ, there's hope. And I pray that you'll teach us, dear God, how to cast our cares upon you. And I pray that this would be a help. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And most of the epistle here that Peter writes through inspiration, God gives him to write, is to the general congregation, to just Christians in general. When we get to chapter number 5, he specifically addresses the elders. As I mentioned a minute ago, these are the men that have a position of leadership. These are the men that have the oversight of the congregation. These are the men that are pastors and assistant pastors that would be reading this epistle, that they would gain some edification from it. And he has some specific words of encouragement and instruction for them. It doesn't surprise me. And again, I'm not trying to sound like I'm a martyr or something, but it doesn't surprise me that a verse like verse 7 is found in the midst of a portion of Scripture written to elders, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Apostle Paul put it this way. Let me read 2 Corinthians verse chapter 11. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I was suffered shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, and perils of mine own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, and watching often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. And then he said this, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now think about that word care, the care of all the churches. Now Paul, of course, had a ministry that was beyond the scope of a normal pastor. Paul experienced things that most pastors wouldn't even dream of having to go through. But the one thing that I wanted to pull from this was this. Paul did not just have to deal with things that were affecting him personally. He also had to deal with the care or the cares of all the churches. Now, I'm glad to say that I don't have to do that. I don't have more than one church that I have to carry the cares of, but I do have one church that I have to carry the cares of. I'm telling you this for a reason, okay, if you'll hear me out. A preacher is as human as you are. A preacher has just as many heartaches as anybody in this room. In some regards, a preacher lives underneath a level of spiritual attack that most of you will never understand. But beyond that, a preacher does not just get to selfishly deal with just his problems. He has to care for the cares of everybody within a congregation. That's why this verse is found in this portion of Scripture encouraging preachers. Now, I want to say this. Please listen to me, okay? If you don't learn this as a preacher, you'll self-destruct. See, verse number 7 might just be a small little statement of encouragement that you might read from time to time. For somebody in the ministry, it's a lifeline. It's survival. Now, I want to say this, folks. If it will cause a preacher to survive, and it'll cause Peter to survive, and it'll cause Paul to survive, yeah, if you apply the same principle, it'll cause you to survive also. I'm not diminishing the fact that you have heartaches, but so do I. And by the way, you don't carry just your heartache, or you don't carry your heartaches and the heartaches of an entire church. I do. If I didn't learn this, I'd have been out of the ministry a long time ago. Preachers that clock in 40, 50 years in the ministry and keep a sweet spirit and keep on track and you know, don't self-destruct, they got this. Now listen, church, what I'm saying is this. You know what? That's fine. God didn't call you to preach, but this will work in your own personal life too. If I can bear all of my cares and all of my burdens and the burdens of an entire church and walk in here with a smile on my face, you can walk in with a smile on your face. If I can smile up here when they're singing a hymn and praise the Lord, you can smile and sing and praise the Lord. Oh, but I've got things going on in my life that you don't, and I've got things going on in my life that you don't. And by the way, I've got the cares of all the church. What I'm saying is, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to take your excuses away. I'm trying to get you to understand that there's been Christians throughout all time that's gone through horrific things, and guess what? They still lived on the victory side. Now, what I'm going to do is try to help you this morning, because you see, you have to get this. You have to learn this. If you're going to survive long-term the Christian life and keep a sweet spirit and stay involved and stay productive for the Lord Jesus Christ and not end up as some dismal, distracted, disappointed casualty off on the sideline somewhere, blaming everybody else the rest of your life while you self-destructed. Listen, you don't have to self-destruct in the Christian life. No matter what the devil throws on at you, you can live on the victory side. But you have to learn to cast your cares. You have to learn to cast your cares. Say, preacher, what is that? What does that mean? Well, first of all, let's define cares. Cares. Now, if you look at that word cares, casting your care, if you look at that word and study it in other places in the Bible, if you go to the Greek and you look, do a little study, Strong's Concordance will give you this. It has the idea of solicitation, solicitude. Now, you think about solicitation or solicitude. Somebody puts on their door, no, soliciting. And it has the idea of this, through the idea of distractions. Why does somebody finally get frustrated and put on their door a little sign that says no soliciting? Because they're tired of the distractions. They're tired of people constantly knocking on their door when they're trying to get something done and interrupting them. Now think about that. Are you thinking with me? Are you awake? Hello, church. Are you here? All right. I don't want to be the only one here this morning. Good. All right. Good. Stay with me. Nod like you're getting it. Even if you're not, just go ahead and nod. It'd be good for you. Fool the preacher. Think I'm doing a good job up here. All right. So through the idea of distraction, solicitude. Now that's what cares do. Cares are constant distractions. Cares are solicitings. Solicitings. Matter of fact, let me pick four boys right here. Let me see. What are the four most annoying boys that we have? Of course, Chad would be one. Come on up here, Chad. And Dalton's pretty annoying. I'll use you, okay? What do you think? Him? You think instead? Jacob, let me use you. And come on, Noah, I just realized I missed some of the most annoying guys right here too. There's more annoying guys than anyway. This will be enough, all right? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let these guys represent cares, okay? Now, I'm going to assign you each something to say to me, and I want two of you standing right here. You stand here, and you stand here, and the other two come on this side of me over here, all right? Now, folks, we all have cares. We all have things that are constantly wanting to distract us. Now, if you were to solicit me, if you were soliciting my house, you would knock on the door, okay? So when I point at you, I want you to begin to do that, because we didn't get a chance to practice this, right? This is totally unpracticed. Would you agree with this? All right, okay. And it'll probably show up pretty quick that it is, all right? Now, I've got things I've got to do. My friend said, I've got to read my Bible. I got things I got to pray. I've got to study for messages. I've got people that I need to counsel. I've got things that we need to plan here at Blessed Hope Baptist. I got visits I need to make. But the problem is I also have cares. And so I'm going to let each of you represent a care. Now, you've got to hear what I'm saying, and you've got to be able to repeat it, okay? And if you can't, I'm going to find somebody else, all right? So the pressure's really on you right now, okay? When I point at you, you're going to start knocking right here, and you're going to say, you have a doctor's appointment next week. Wonder if you have cancer. All right? Can you do that? You have a doctor's appointment next week. Wonder if you have cancer. Let's practice it. Ready? No, you got to knock. You got to say it real loud. Now keep knocking while you're saying it. There you go. Now do it again, only louder.
See how annoying some people. It's almost like they have a God-given gift. You know, it's just, I mean, they don't even have to practice, all right? And then you're going to knock when I point at you and say, Mrs. Smith is mad at you because of last Sunday's sermon, all right? Okay, go ahead.
Mrs. Smith is mad at you because of last Sunday's sermon.
All right, good, all right, okay. And how about this one? Your wedding anniversary is this Saturday, and you haven't bought your wife a gift. All right. And by the way, my wedding anniversary is Saturday, and I haven't bought my wife a gift. All right. So, go ahead.
Your wedding anniversary is this Saturday, and you don't have your wife a gift.
All right. Now, that's just four cares, okay? All right. So, now it's time to read my Bible. And by the way, notice it says, cast all your care upon him, which teaches us that cares are multiple. Nobody just have one problem. Come on, if you just have one, come trade with me. If you only got one problem, please, we can negotiate something after the service. I want your life, okay? So all right, it's time for me to read my Bible. So I open it up, and I'm going to have my morning devotions, and so I start reading, and all of you at the same time. Here we go. Doing it, just keep going over and over.
Mrs. Smith is mad at you because of last Sunday's sermon.
All right, stop. I got to push these things out of my mind, so I push them out of my mind. Oh, good night. Sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm going to read the Bible now. I have just so many things, and so, okay, let me try again here. And I start reading for a few minutes, and all of a sudden, all right, I'm going to let the reading get in the
Mrs. Smith is mad at you because of last Sunday's sermon.
I didn't say anything. I'm going to get the gift when I can. I don't have cancer. Well, I don't think I got cancer. Maybe I got cancer. I don't know. Stop! And all right. Push these things out of my mind. Push them out of my mind. I can't read the Bible today. Maybe it'll help if I just pray, all right? I'll just spend some time praying, all right? Lord, I just need to come to you, Lord Jesus.
Because bless you.
Lord, I need to. Lord, I need your help. I didn't say anything wrong last. I'm going to get her something. I ain't got any money, though. I got to pay the rent.
Mrs. Smith is mad at you.
I hate going to the doctor. All right, stop. Now, the reason you're laughing is you're relating, amen? Come on. Now, think about this, folks. If we're not careful, that's how our life. We're trying to live our life in the midst of all of this. Preacher, I can't think. I can't concentrate. I'm trying to get this done. And this comes into my mind, and I push it away. And then this comes in the other direction. I push it away. And next thing I know, four or five of them come in at once. And come on, we've spent entire, let's be honest with each other, all right? It's just us. We can be honest. We've spent entire days almost being completely unproductive. It's just simply because of the pressing of the cares of this life upon us. And so you guys can be seated. Go away. You're annoying. Good night. And I was going to cast them. Cast them into the baptistry. That's what the Bible says. Cast your cares into the baptistry. And that's the definition of cares. That's what cares are. That's what having cares is all about. Now, your list of cares may be more than mine, and they may be louder than mine, and some of them may seem more important, but I promise you, you know what? My problems to me are just as important as your problems to you, and my cares weigh just as much as your cares. And one man said this: all of us think that we have it worse than somebody else, but if we all came to the same place and put our problems in a pile and looked at everybody else's problems, we'd probably just pick ours up and go back home. But we all got them. We all have them. And so that's the definition of cares. Preacher, that's exactly right. And I just can't keep going. By the way, this is why people get out of the bus ministry. This is why people stop serving the Lord. This is why people start resigning position. You don't understand. You just don't get it, preacher. Now, I'm sorry. I do get it. You're talking to the wrong person. Okay, because I don't just have my problems. I've got my problems and this row of problems and that row of problems and this row of problems and that row of problems and this row of problems and that row of problems. I don't just carry my cares. That's why I'm standing up here talking with some level of authority on this. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm just not a church member that walks in here and just sits down and just gets fed and then goes off and doesn't deal with anything that's going on. I deal with it. And what I'm saying is this: if this works for me, it can work for you. If this worked for Paul, it can work for you. If this worked for Peter, it can work for you. If this worked for the New Testament fathers who are facing a martyrdom and persecution that we can't even understand, hey, it could work for you and your set of problems. I'm not belittling your problems. I'm just saying there's an answer to those problems. There's an answer to those cares. The definition of cares. Number two, the danger, and I want to get this to you, the danger of uncast cares. Go over to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. I'm going to teach you what to do with those cares in just a minute, but I want to show you, first of all, the danger of uncast cares. Uncast cares. In Mark chapter number 4, we read a part of, at least we'll look at a part of, the parable of the sower. In Mark chapter number 4, if you'll look at verse number 2, most of you are familiar with this parable, the parable of the sower. And he taught them many things by parables, Mark 4 verse 2, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among the thorns. Now pay attention to the ones that fell among the thorns. We're going to give the interpretation as Christ gave it. We're going to read it. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. Here it is. And it yielded what?
No fruit.
Uncast cares threaten our spiritual fruitfulness. Say, preacher, where's the interpretation? Look down at verse number 18. Jesus is interpreting the parable. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the what?
Cares
of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word that it becometh unfruitful. Now, if you do not learn to cast your cares, those cares will grow up like thorns, and they will choke out the effectiveness of the Word of God in your life, therefore choking out the potential fruitfulness of your life. You have to learn to deal with the cares of this world. Imagine if I tried to go soul winning and all of these guys came with me. You think after about a block I wouldn't get so discouraged I'd throw my hands up and say, I can't even think to witness to people. I'll just go home. I mean, how many sermons would be prepared if I let these guys live in the study with me? All right, listen, how many productive things would happen? How many people would be comforted? How many, listen, what I'm saying is you've got to learn to what to do with these guys. You've got to learn to do what, you have to learn what to do with the cares. Because if you don't, I'm going to say something right here and I promise you it's true. Right now, I'm catching some of you daydreaming, you're worrying about problems. I just brought you back. And guess what? Everything I'm saying is getting choked out because you're focused on an issue in your life. And if you don't deal with that issue of your life, every service you come to, pretty soon you're going to sit right here and get Bible preaching and teaching all the time that can help you, and yet it'll get choked out because you never hear it. You know why? Because you're focused on the cares of this life. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. Say, preacher, it's happening in my life. I'm not condemning you. Hey, I've been you. I get it. I fight the same battles you do, but you have to learn what to do with these cares. All right, so we have listen, uncast cares threaten our spiritual fruitfulness. Look in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter number 21. You working on getting the ring out of that? Are you working on that, trying to? You want me to go back to this one? Would that be better? Let's do that, okay? I'm going to turn this one off. No problem. Hey, you know, amen. It's just another care, brother. It's just something else I've got to deal with right now. Thank you. No, just kidding. I'm not sure that our castle towers aren't messing with something anyway. There's some interesting echoing going on here, but praise the Lord. Luke chapter 21 and verse number 29. Luke 21 and verse number 29. Watch this. What happens, preacher, if we have uncast cares, if we don't deal properly with the cares of this world? Luke chapter 21, by the way, this entire chapter, most of this chapter, deals with the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, verse 29, and he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He's talking, if we went back up to verse 25, he's talking about the coming of Christ. Verse 20, coming of Christ. All the way back to the beginning of the chapter, coming of Christ. Now look at verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and what? Cares of this life, so that day come upon you how?
Unawares.
Now, folks, watch this. Uncast cares threaten our spiritual fruitfulness. Uncast cares threaten our spiritual readiness. All of a sudden, all these distractions, all of this solicitation, all of the knocking, all of the constant cares and problems. Pretty soon, we're not thinking about lost souls. We're not thinking about winning people to Jesus Christ. We're consumed with our cares. All of a sudden, all these voices are always there. And guess what? We're not looking for Jesus to come. We're not living with our eyes upward. We don't look at the eastern sky every morning and wonder if he's coming. We're thinking about all the cares in our life. And if we do not learn to cast those cares, they will destroy and threaten our spiritual fruitfulness. They will threaten our spiritual readiness. The uncast cares will threaten our spiritual rewards. We're talking about soul winning. We're talking about being ready for the second coming of Christ. You know that two of the five crowns that can be won at the judgment seat of Christ could be lost due to uncast cares? The crown of rejoicing, the soul winner's crown, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, for ye are our glory and joy. And listen to me, if you get caught up and you get consumed with these things, pretty soon you're going to be delinquent in your responsibility of winning other people to Jesus Christ, because you don't think of anybody else, you just think of your life and everything that's going on in my life. And that becomes paramount to you. And next thing you know, you're risking losing the crown of rejoicing. How about the crown of righteousness presented to those who love the Lord's appearing? 2 Timothy chapter 4, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We've got the crown of righteousness given to those who love his appearing. Guess what? You're not even looking for his appearing. He comes unaware. Why? I got consumed with the cares of this life. I got consumed with the cares of this life. You have an opportunity to win a crown of righteousness presented to those that consistently go after lost souls and win lost souls to Christ. But guess what? You quit doing that because you got consumed with the cares of this life. Uncast cares. Uncast cares threaten our spiritual fruitfulness, threaten our spiritual readiness, threaten our spiritual rewards. By the way, let me just throw this in. Revelation chapter 4, we read it in Sunday school. Remember that? The 24 elders fall down before him that sit on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I want to say something to you. Watch this. Refusing to cast your cares at Christ's feet in this life will prevent you from having crowns to cast at his feet in the next life. Now, these things need to be properly dealt with. These things need to be properly dealt with. Preacher, but they're real. Yeah, they are real. Well, I don't know what to do with them. I'm going to teach you what to do with them. You have a duty as a Christian to learn to cast your cares upon the Lord. Listen, folks, I can't function. I can't function every day and have to have these guys following me around. I can't function every day. I can't be the kind of preacher I need to be. I can't be the kind of father I need to be. I can't be the kind of husband I need to be. I can't be the kind of friend I need to be. I can't do that if I've got 40, 50, 60, 70 of these running around screaming in my ear all the time. So what do you do, preacher? I learn to cast my cares on him, for he cares for us. Now, you have a duty to do it. Listen, some people, I mean this, come on, look right up here. You almost define them. You find identity in these things. You collect them. You're proud of them. I mean, you want them. They're your excuse for not doing anything. Well, I would, but I got this, and I got this, and I got this, and nobody understands all the things I've got. And if I, you know, they don't live my life. If they walk in my shoes, they don't know baloney. Guess what? Everybody's shoes stink. We all got problems. We all got issues. We all got pressures. Okay? I mean, you want to trade shoes? Let's do it. All right, now, listen, everybody's got it. Then why can some people still smile? Because they figured out 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. Why some people walk in, you look around and you see during the song service, there's some people that are just singing their hearts, and you look over and say, man, I'm telling you, I wish I didn't have a care in the world like that guy. Well, let me ask you a question. Why do you have a care in the world? Some of you collect them like baseball cards. You collect them like Pokemon cards. Now, come on. You get your whole identity. You have your whole identity. I mean, I'm going to help some of your senior saints right here. Now, you just look right at, oh, you don't understand. You haven't been there. You can say whatever you want to, but some of you have spent 40 hours this week with other senior saints on the phone comparing who's got the worst life. You're trying to win that. For everybody that calls and wants to share a burden with you, you've got three more that's worse than theirs. By the way, I'm going to say this and then people get mad at me and then, you know, I have another care, amen? But there's a reason I've done away when I pastored to this Wednesday night. Is there any prayer requests? Because it's, let's see if we can out-owie each other. Yeah, thank you very much. That's good preaching, preacher. Yeah. I mean, some people just read the Lenten paper if they don't have a problem, so they can come in and say, I read four stories you need to know about from happening in the Lenten paper. I mean, you know, no matter who's got something, you've got something. Come on now. What are you, you know what's doing? It's strangling. You better listen to me. It's strangling your fruitfulness. It's strangling your spiritual potential. It's strengthless. It's got your eyes off of Jesus, and it's got your eyes off of his second coming and onto your problems. Now listen, folks, if I lived that way, I'd self-destruct. If I lived that way, I wouldn't get through tomorrow. If I live, I'm not kidding you, if I live that way, I'd have a nervous breakdown. If I live that way, I'd be depressed all the time. If I live that way, I'd have to go get a bunch of drugs and just pop them and pop them and pop them and pop them and pop them. Come on. I'd have to keep 7 or 8 psychiatrists busy. I just, you know, I get them all scheduled in one day. You know, just go to 7 different appointments, you know. Come on. Come on. What I'm saying is this. There's a better way to live. You have a duty to cast your cares. This verse here is an imperative statement. It's a command. Look back, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. It's instruction. Listen, it's a lifeline. It's a survival manual for those in the ministry. Listen, and many of you may be lay people, but in a sense, you also are in the ministry. Listen, you may not carry what I do, but Brother Jeff, you carry the burdens of the people on your bus route, and Sister Angie, you carry the burdens of the people in your Sunday school class, and Brother Abel, you carry the people a burden, you know, on your bus route, and Brother JR getting ready to go deal with the nursing. Listen, everybody carries some things that's serving others. Listen, this is a lifeline. You'll get this or you won't do it long. I just can't do all of this. I just got to quit. That's not the answer. Quitting's never the answer. Now let me talk to you about your duty here, because we all have the duty. Casting all your care upon Him, for He care for you. Casting cares is a daily duty. The word casting is in the linear form, the same way asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be opened to you. That word ask means ask, and seek means seek and seek and seek. You know what cast here means? Cast. It's a daily duty. It's in the linear. It means to cast with importunity. Let me tell you something. It's not just a one-time deal. It's a daily deal. I mean, that's why we've got to get to the throne of grace. That's why we've got to report it every morning. That's why we've got to open the Bible and get strengthened and come to a God who understands, is touched with the feelings of our infirmity, and say, God, I've got this, and 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 I've got this. But there's other people. They have this in their life, and this brother's facing this, and this sister's facing this. And one at a time, I cast them onto the throne of grace. Listen, I've got a lot to do today. I can't have these guys carrying me around, but I can cast them before God. Listen, He can do something about it. He's stronger than me. He's more powerful than me. He's got more grace than I can imagine. He's the one to take these two. Take them to God. It's a daily duty. Casting is a linear verb, to cast with importunity. And let me just say this, folks. There's days when you have to stop, not just do it daily, but sometimes you have to do it hourly. And if you have to do it hourly, then do it. Yes. But cast your cares upon the Lord. Casting cares is a daily duty. Casting cares must be a thorough duty. All your care. See what it says? Casting all your care. Most of us carry more than one. Preacher, I have health cares, and I have financial cares, and I have family cares, and I have frustration cares, and I have failure cares, and insecurities, and demonic attacks, and disappointments, and worries, and weaknesses. Yeah, join the club. We're all made out of the same junk. And you know what? You have to be thorough. I'm going to help some of you. Watch this. Some of you do this. You go through and you say, I can give this one to God, and I can give this one to God, and I can give this one to God. And I give this one to God. And now I'm going to keep that one. I'm going to keep this one. And you know what? You didn't obey the Bible. Why can't you trust God with these two? Why do you feel like you're more capable of carrying these than He is? Watch this. Here's a statement. What is it in your life that you are not willing to trust the Lord with? That you don't think He's big enough to handle? What are you holding back? You say, preacher, how do I know the answer to that? What's consumed your thoughts for the last 7 days? What's been the distraction for the last 7 days in your life? And you can't even read your Bible, and you can't even pray, and you can't think of anybody else's problems, and you can't focus on doing anything positive, and you can't smile, and you can't sing, and you can't praise, and you can't do anything. I mean, heaven forbid, He's asking us to sign up. Doesn't He realize BBS? Doesn't He realize everything that's going on? Hey, instead of... live this way. This is annoying. Is it annoying yet? help anybody. I'm consumed. Cast it. I like this. Everybody quiet. I like that sound.
Yes, sir.
I like that sound. Hey, I can read my Bible when it's like this. I can pray when it's like this. I can think about somebody besides me when it's like this. Well, I wish I didn't have any. It's not that we don't have problems. It's you've got to learn what to do with your problems. You got to learn what to do with them. Casting cares is a daily duty. Casting cares must be a thorough duty. Watch this. Casting cares must be an upward duty. Casting, in the linear, all your care, a thorough duty. Cast them where? Upon who? Him. Him. I'm going to give you something here, and I want you to think about it. Some of you ought to write it down and read it about 50 times this week. Cares will drive you to God or drive you to your grave. Cares will drive you to God or drive you to your grave. There's going to be good people. I mean good people that you know what? They'll go to an early grave because they won't trust the Lord with their cares. Let me give you this. I'm going to help some of you in a huge way right now. Your earthly friend is a poor substitute for your heavenly Father. Your earthly friend is a poor substitute for your heavenly Father. You know what the Bible says to do with your cares? Casting your cares upon. And this is what we do. We get cares and we get overwhelmed by them, so we call people. Now watch this. I'm going to help you if you'll let me. We care people. Call people. Say, preachers, that wrong to get counsel? It's not wrong to get counsel. Is it wrong to seek encouragement? No, but ultimately, folks, if we're using that as a substitute for going to where we ought to go with them, then it is damaging. Okay? I mean, you'll tell everybody, every friend on Facebook, but you won't spend 5 minutes on your knees before a holy God getting the help you need. Watch this, I want to say it again. Your earthly friend is a poor substitute for your heavenly Father. Why? Okay, I'm going to show you something here. You go to somebody else, and again, you know what, I get it. That's what Christians are for, and I don't mind. I want you to share your burdens with me. I'll help you carry your burdens. I'll pray with you, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to cast them. You can share them. I'll listen. I'll pray with you. But don't get mad for me not becoming as depressed as you are. Because if you bring me something, I'm not keeping it. I'm casting it. I'm not throwing it in the trash. I'm not throwing it in the ditch. I'm not throwing it into the trash bin of unconcern. I'm throwing it before the throne of grace. Some people are going through problems, and you know what? Listen to me. You're mad because everybody else isn't as depressed as you are. You want the whole world to stop and just be depressed with you and just be angry with you and just be bitter with you. Sorry, VBS is this week. Sorry, I'd like to see 30, 40 kids get saved this week. Sorry, there's a lot of other things going on. Sorry, Jesus could come back this week. I mean, I'd really like to just sit, you know, with you in your pity party. But there really are things that are eternal. Watch this. You can get mad if you want to. That are more important than any problem in this room. Mine, yours, anybody's. Casting them. Casting them. Casting them. Are you like me sometimes? Do you cast them and then a couple hours later sneak back to the throne of grace and get them? I go back to prayer and I think I pick up a couple and take it back with me. All of a sudden I realize what I've done. I say, Lord, here I am again, consumed with these cares. I've got to stop what I'm doing. I've got to cast them back to you, and I've got to trust you to take care of them. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Casting cares is a daily duty. Casting cares must be a thorough duty. Casting cares must be an upward duty. God can carry it. In exchange for your cares, He will supply the grace that you need. That's a great deal. Take God. Go to God. Take Him your cares. Receive from Him grace and get through another day. And you know what? That's worked pretty good.
Watch this. For the 47 years that I've been saved, that's worked pretty good. Casting your cares must be an upward duty. Casting cares produces, watch this, an inward delight. Let's finish the verse. Casting all your care upon Him. What's the last part say? For He care for you. Now here's the wonderful thing. Preacher, I got all these cares and all this stuff, and you want me to go to God. Yes, that's where you need to go. And you want me to cast my cares to Him. Yes. But let me tell you something you're going to discover while you're there. He cares for you. He cares for you. You may try to tell five people, and you know what? They didn't seem to care. You go to God, He always cares. One of my favorite songs in the hymn, song in the hymn book, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades and the deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my heart, sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to Him? Does He see? What's the chorus say? Oh, yes, He cares. Sing it with me. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior. What are you going to do? You going to carry Him for another week? Or are you going to cast Him? You going to take another step towards the grave, or you going to take another step to glory? You going to live in defeat, or are you going to live in delight? Are you getting this? No, I'm sorry. This whole idea that you've got a unique situation and no one in the world's ever faced it, that's baloney. That's the devil talking to you. You know what God says? Come to me. You know what Jesus said? Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. That's what He says. That's the invitation. What are you going to do this morning with your cares? Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that the Word of God has come, Lord, to strengthen. I pray, dear God, that the Word of God has come, Lord, to help. Every single one of us at times, Lord, get overwhelmed by the cares of this world. And Lord, it seems like they become so loud and they're so persistent and there's so many that we can't find God. And yet You're always there. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to learn what it is. Come before the throne of grace and say, Lord, I've carried this long enough. Sorry, I can't do it anymore. He said, good, because I never intended You to. And Lord, what a wonderful thing when we hand You our cares and we find out, dear God, that in exchange for our cares, You'll give us grace. And so we cast, Lord, our cares upon You, knowing that You care for us. Lord, I pray, dear God, that this would be an encouragement. I pray, Lord, that this sermon is not allowed to be used by Satan, to be interpreted in a mode of self-pity. But instead, people will take a look at this verse and say, you know what, there is a way, no matter what's going on in my life, to live on the victory side. And I'm going to find that way. I don't want to lose my crown of rejoicing. I don't want to lose a crown of righteousness. I don't want to, one of these days, not have anything to cast at His feet because I refused to cast my cares at His feet when I could have. I pray for help and strength and wisdom and grace in the lives of many of our people that are here. And Lord, the honest truth is there's many that's going through hard things. Help them, dear God, to know what to do with their cares.